Gospel chapter number 5. I'd like to begin reading verse number 25. And the Bible says, talking about the same woman we just sang about, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Wow. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague."
Man.
Lord, being our helper this afternoon, we'd like to bring our sermon on this thought of a soul in need. A soul in need. Abba Father, we thank you, Lord, one more time for the privilege, the joy of getting to come and bring your word to these fine folks here at Pacific Garden Mission. We do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon the mission and upon the staff. We ask you, Father, for each of the residents here that they will get exactly what it is that they need, especially if anyone here needs to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they would make today that glorious day. We pray, Lord, that you help me please to say only what needs to be said, and nothing more, nothing less, so as that each and every one of us will get the help, the strength from the Master that's here available for us, because we are certainly a needy people. We thank you, God, for loving us and saving us. In the precious name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. So we're dealing with this soul in need here. The Bible does not give us her name. It just says a certain woman. Now, whenever we see someone identified as a certain person, Mark chapter 5, we see someone identified as a certain person, a certain man, a certain woman. The Bible is telling us that this person actually existed. The name is irrelevant, but the person being there, these events that have transpired, all matter greatly. God knows everything about this woman. Everything that there ever was to know about her leading up to this event, and everything that would transpire afterward. I can prove this by the very fact that the Bible was written roughly 2,000 years ago, and she's still recorded here in Mark chapter number 5.
Amen.
If God had forgotten her, her story would have been omitted. But it's there. That tells us that God does care for the soul in need.
Of course.
Now, this woman here, she has an issue of blood. In other words, she's had this problem every single day of her life for the last 12 years. According to the Mosaic law, she is unclean and is supposed to remain outside of the camp. Outside of town. She's not supposed to come around other people because she's unclean. But she was a soul in need. And she was coming to the healer to get some healing. May I say first of all here that this woman, she was desperate. The Bible tells us here in verse number 26 that she had suffered many things of many physicians, and it's been all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. She suffered. She spent everything she had. The money was gone. She's financially bankrupt. Because of her condition and having to stay outside, she is family. Her family is practically bankrupt. Her relationship status is bankrupt. She's got no fellowship with any of her family or friends. They can't come around her because they too would be considered ceremonially unclean. Could you imagine always having to be away from everybody for 12 years? No contact with anybody.
No.
Y'all just had 8 days that you were set aside for COVID stuff. That weren't no fun. Now imagine 12 years of it.
Yeah.
No, thank you. But she suffered many things of many physicians. In other words, the doctors who would try to treat her. They would anything and everything they could think of. They'd give her different herbs to drink, to eat, different rituals she would have to perform. I even read one person talk about a ritual that they had back in that day where the woman with having some sort of a problem would have to go to where two roads intersected and became one, and she'd stand there in that crossway of those three roads basically holding in each hand an item there, and would have to stand there for several hours. That sounds kind of crazy to me. I don't know about the rest of y'all. But that's the stupid stuff that people would come up with. And she was so desperate, Brother Phil, that she would pay to do it. Dare I say that many of us today are that desperate? That we will get those checks in the mail. And yet what happens? It's burning a hole in the pocket. Amen, brother. Gotta go quench that fire somehow. Go run to the arms of somebody. Go to the bar. Go to the dope dealer. Go to, hey, you know what? Well, how about something clean? Ooh. Gotta go to work and get even more of it. Oh, I've got church today, but that's okay. I need the overtime. I got bills to pay. That's a different kind of desperation. And it's a desperation that actually ain't going to benefit your soul. We all get desperate in some way, shape, or form. And instead of turning to God Almighty for the help that He has available for us, we try anything and everything, and it just leads us to empty pockets. It leads us to empty souls.
Yeah.
Empty houses. They ain't homes no more. They're just houses. Leads us to low points. We might even try doing something foolish. But we won't go no further down that rabbit trail. Because she wasn't quite that desperate yet. But may I say, she was, however, deliberate.
Yeah.
Verse number 27. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. Jesus was heading her way. And she could, quite frankly, have just stood there and waited on Him. Let's say for a moment, don't get the big head, Brother Phil. But let's say Brother Phil here represents Jesus. And he is marching this way with the crowd. She could have just stood here waiting. Alright, just as soon as he comes this way, and we could talk and I'll touch him, whatever the case is there, no problem. But, oh, look at that. He went a different direction on me while I was standing here waiting. And I missed my opportunity. But because, go ahead and turn around and face that door over there, brother. But because she decides to be deliberate, she's going to come up there from behind to touch the hem of His garments. She's being deliberate. She's making a choice to reach out and to touch Him. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. You see, we can sit here and wait on something to come our way. And how often does all of a sudden circumstances change the course on us? It looks like I'm definitely heading that way, and all of a sudden it's a different direction.
Yes.
Down in Homewood, Illinois, you're coming up Halsted Avenue. It looks like if you stay there on Halsted, you will eventually get to the Sears Tower. I don't care what they call it nowadays. I grew up here. It's the Sears Tower to me. Amen. But guess what? You stay on Halsted, you ain't gonna go to the Sears Tower, even though it looks like it's right in front of you. Things change. Our perception can be askewed. But because she chose to deliberately come up from behind, she got to where he was at. So even if he turned to the left, she's still turning to the left. If he starts turning to the right, she's coming up from behind. She'll automatically turn to the right. She was following him. And when we start following Jesus, we're going to start seeing some better results. But the only way we're going to follow Jesus is when we are deliberate about it. May I say verse number 28 tells us she had determination. For. That word for is a declaration. It tells us something's about to take place here. For, she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. The two words shall be are also a declaration. This will happen. As an example, if I take one more step, I will step down. If I take two more steps, I will be on the ground floor. I am declaring this. And because I was determined to do it, I stepped down. It happened, did it not? Yeah. So she has made her declaration and she is determined. She's going to follow it through. The thing that separates so many of us from the goals that we have in mind, from the desire of our heart, is that we ain't got the determination that we need to have to achieve it. That money comes into our pocket and suddenly we're determined to do something else.
That's right.
That preacher's up there preaching, and while we're sitting there listening, I am so determined I'm going to follow Jesus, and then that idiot shuts up, and suddenly something else catches our attention. I've done that many times, so don't worry about it. I'm talking to myself too, amen. Too many come to God only looking for the immediate fix. They're looking for an aspirin. When God says, I can give you the cure. Where I can make you whole again. Where I can restore you. Or as the prophet Joel said there, that he will restore to us the years the locusts have eaten. But because we only determined to get a little bit of escapism, something to tide us over for a couple of days, we miss out on all. Let me say that again. We miss out on all that God has got for us.
Yeah.
Because we're not determined. But when we get determined, we can find something happening to us that flips the script.
Uh-oh.
That turns everything on its side.
Yep.
We see here in verse number 29. And straightway, that's just a fancy word for saying immediately. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Immediately. No time wasted. God didn't just fix it. He took it all the way back to the beginning of it. You see, she was now dead to it. Dead to it, preacher. Yeah, dead to it. She died? No, she didn't die. But because the situation had been fixed, the problem had been resolved, she's now dead to it. You are either living with it or you're dead to it. The Bible tells us that each one of us, as human beings who have been born, conceived by an earthly daddy, are all sinners. That we all were given a one-way ticket to hell. That as sinners, we are all at war with God. That there is none righteous. No, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we all deserve hell there. We are dead to God and alive to hell. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we accept the fact that we are sinners, that we deserve the hell that we are bound for, and we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, putting our full faith and trust in Him, we become dead to hell and alive to God. The script gets flipped. I'm no longer bound to the consequences of my sins of spending eternity in hell. Now don't misunderstand me. If I killed someone right now, I would still have consequences in this life, but I would not be having to pay for it in hell. But because I'm saved, I don't have no desire to try to kill somebody. I ain't got no desire to go out there and rob an armored car. Though, yeah, my bank account would appreciate it. No. Because I'm dead to those things. I've been made alive to God Almighty.
Yes.
The Bible says here that fountain of our blood was dried up. That word dried up means completely. It had the reset button hit on it. I no longer hunger for those things. I no longer thirst for those things.
Thank you.
It says here that she felt in her body. The word felt means she didn't need no second opinion. She didn't have to touch the hem of His garment and then run over to the doctor. Doctor, am I healed? She knew it. When I got saved as an 8-year-old boy there in Hammond, Indiana, at Northside Baptist, I didn't have to go to the pastor afterward and say, "Do you think God saved me?" I knew He saved me.
Amen.
I'm now dead to the things of this world.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord.
2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, they're dead. Behold, all things are become new, alive." I like the idea of being alive.
Me too.
Verses 30 down through 32 tells us that she done got His attention. And Jesus immediately knowing in Himself that virtue. The word "that" means a specific thing. Virtue means power. So in other words, a very specific power. Power for a very specific moment to do that specific healing had just been used. In other words, if I pulled out a wad of cash, I ain't got a wad of cash, but if I pulled out a wad of cash and there were hundreds in there and there were ones and 100, $100 bill and a bunch of 50s and 20s and I fanned them out and I said, "Brother Phil, you go ahead and take out whichever single bill you want.
Give me that $100 bill."
Exactly. For that particular time and place, that $100 bill was meant. And he was going to take that one $100 bill. This virtue acted on that exact same principle. Jesus came to that town for that moment for her to exercise her faith to come up behind, to come to Jesus and get the healing that she needed there. She done got His attention. And the Bible says that He turned around here.
Yeah.
Verse 32, and He looked round about to see her. Don't forget, He's facing this way. She's come up from behind Him. He ain't turning around and saying, "All right, now which one of you all touched me?" He's facing this way. She touches Him. As He's turning, "Who touched me?" He's turning to look at her. He's offering her the chance to confess. No, did she do something bad? No. He's offering her a chance to confess to the world what just happened for her. Contrast that with the Garden of Eden. When God came in the cool of the day and asked Adam, "Where art thou?" He was giving him a chance to confess what had happened. In fact, He gave him two chances that day. Jesus didn't have to give this woman a second chance. She immediately spoke up. She immediately got to saying, "Hey, look, this is what happened here. And I want to tell you all about it," because she doubted nothing. Verse 33, "But the woman fearing and trembling." Let me just pause real quick. That word "fearing," yeah, I know it means to be afraid. But this word "fearing" also means a reverential awe. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Doesn't mean I'm terrified of Him. It means I have great and humble respect for Him. And she understands that this man, this Jesus of Nazareth, who just healed her, she has respect for Him. So she's fearing here and trembling. She's shaking. She's so excited. I got healed. This is wonderful. Can you believe it? I know I'm whole. She ain't spazzing out. She ain't having a seizure. She's excited. Trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. She knew the law. The law said as unclean, she had no business coming into that crowd there, and because of it, she was to be stoned. But she didn't care. Go ahead and stone me. I'm healed.
Yeah. Bring it on.
Go ahead and do what you want to this body now. I done got the healing I need. But Jesus, of course, He ain't there to condemn her. He was there to heal her. She doubted nothing. Do you know what the best part is? Verse number 34. This certain woman is now a daughter. Read with me here. And He said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Daughter denotes ownership of a father towards someone, especially toward a newborn baby. Now, I told the women this, so I'll go ahead and tell you all this as well. And same thing. Y'all can consider me a male chauvinist pig if you want. That's fine. I'll accept that. 4 years, as far as I was concerned, there was no way in the world I was ever going to change a baby's diaper. I got a weak stomach, can't handle it. I ain't messing with that mess. That's the wife's job to do. She can clean up the kid when the kid needs a fresh diaper. Until that delivery room, when I saw my daughter for the first time. And I kid you not, my very first thought was, she needs me. It didn't matter how nasty that diaper was going to be. I understood she needed me. How big of a mess, how smelly of a mess, didn't matter. I understood at that moment, she needs me. When God takes us into His family, when He adopts us, by that precious blood of Jesus Christ shed there on the cross of Calvary. He does so understanding we are going to soil ourselves spiritually. He understands that we are going to have times when we are going to wet the bed. That we are going to sin. That we are going to backslide. That we're going to want the things of this world. That we're going to entertain the temptation. That we are going to understand that we are in our flesh, and our flesh still has needs. But He still chose to save us. He still chose to bring us into His family, knowing He's going to have to clean our mess.
Man.
Knowing that He's going to have to be the one to change us. Knowing that He's the one that's going to have to do it all for us. And He'll have to do it all over again. He ain't going to save us again. No. But He will have to clean us up. Thank God 1 John 1:9 is still in the Bible. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Thank you, Lord.
Just as she's now a daughter, we can be sons. He says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Her soul was now alive because of faith.
Amen.
He told her to go in peace. There's no more war with God with her. She came looking for help for her situation and got eternal life. Is God going to instantly change our circumstances when we become sons? No. But is He going to change our eternal circumstance when we get saved? Oh, yes, 1,000 times so. I'm so saved, it's pitiful. And you know what the best part is? No matter how bad I sin, He honestly does not sit there reconsidering His decision. He still loves me. He's still stuck with me. I'm still His. And Jesus closed by saying, "Behold thy plague." He simply was telling her, "Your body's been taken care of. How about you take care of feeding your soul and building it up now?" I've got just one question in closing here this afternoon for us. Are we coming to God for just the moment in time that we are in? Or are we coming to Him to take care of all of our need, especially spiritually? Only you can answer that for yourself. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. We do pray, Lord, for Your blessings upon this day and upon each and every one that's gathered here. I hope and pray, Father, that everyone here was able to get exactly what it is that they need out of the sermon. And if anyone here needs to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they would take the time today, in the next few moments here, to ask Jesus to save them, putting their full faith and trust in Him. I know myself and evangelists still would be more than happy to show them how they can be saved if they still don't understand.
Yes.
Help us, Father, please, to be obedient to You. And I pray, Lord, for Your blessings upon Pacific Garden Mission here. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen.